Oh, yeah. Okay, we can wrap this up in 6 minutes. Well, actually, I was going to give the history of Mother's Day, but you already hit that. And Hannah, you don't know, but that was an audition, so you have to lead worship every Sunday from now on. And Jack, you've got a men's fashion going on now, wearing a new ring on your thumb. I think they wanted to clarify that that is a man's ring if somebody did lose their ring outside. So, yesterday or today or whenever. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Again, I know it's been said this morning, but I'm going to say it too. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. It's funny because when Pastor texted me and asked me to speak on May 8th, I said yes and everything, and then I got to looking at the calendar later on, it was about 2 weeks later, and I was like, that's Mother's Day. He failed to mention that. But anyway, he may not have. I have not changed my name to Smith. Contrary to the belief here, I'm still Spear, so... It's all right, Jack. I have a hard time with names too sometimes. And anyway, and what is it when it sticks in your head? It's just there, and you can't get it out. So you can't get it straight. It's fine. Smith's a good name. Although Joe Smith was the leader of the Mormon Church, so we want to stay away from that. So, not sure we want a Jones might be better or something like. Well, no, we don't like Jones either. So anyway. It's always great to be here. My family and I always love to come to Sitka. We just want to thank you. But, you know, Mother's Day is, a special day. Now, a lot of us, my mother has passed. A lot of you, I'm sure, has had your mothers, you know, have passed. But we have very fond memories of our mothers. We have... you know, special memories. I like what you brought up, you know, about what you've taken from your mother. I mean, what was instilled? What was given to you? And these are memories and things that we need to, along with the cake recipes and stuff also, but you know, the things that we have learned. But I tell you, mothers, you know, a message about Mother's Day is sometimes, I feel, kind of tough to do because... You know, we have very good examples of Mother's Day. You know, Scripture talks about mothers, and we have examples of mothers throughout Scripture. But it's always kind of tough because a lot of times they've been used so many times, and it's hard to be original or you know. So again, of course, coming up with a message, we should be going to the Lord and asking what He wants us to speak about. But when it's topical, you know, it kind of narrows that train right down. But I, in thinking about this, I kind of just wanted to, well, one that I've never really heard too much about, and it just always impresses upon me, we don't know a lot about her, but is our first mother, Eve. So if you would, I'm going to have you turn with me to the book of Genesis. I'm going to kind of just bounce around, so as far as an actual scripture verse, I'm just going to have you go to chapter 5, verse 2 first. And but Eve is one that is a huge example about mothers, but yet we really don't know, again, a lot about her. We can derive from Scripture several things about her, but... exactly what is written is hard to bring out. But the one thing about Eve that I thought and in kind of looking over studies as I never really thought of is Eve kind of has three names, you might say. What is she known as in the very beginning in chapter 1 and 2? She's known as woman. Well, she's just talked about just a little bit in 1. in chapter 1. She's actually created throughout chapter 2. But in 1 verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it.'" That's in chapter 1, before we actually are told about the creation of woman. But it's interesting always, I mean, right in the very beginning, when God talks about, when Scripture tells us that God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created male and female, he tells us to be fruitful and multiply. He established motherhood right in the very beginning before he ever, his thoughts, I'm sure, was already established before he even created Eve. But Eve comes along in chapter 2, and as we know, he had Adam go to sleep. He was trying to find a helpmeet, a wife, a companion, somebody to complement, to help, to co-establish the earth, to to just be somebody for Adam. And we know from Scripture that he brought many of the creation of the animals, the other things, and he had Adam name them. But there was found none as a proper companion for Adam. And therefore, he had Adam fall asleep, and he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam in verse 21 of chapter 2. And he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to man, and Adam said... You know, you got to remember, Adam was pretty excited at this point. I always... Adam was pretty, you know, he woke up, and I've used this joke before, but, you know, when he first laid eyes on this... On this, you know, this woman was naked. She was beautiful, and he brought her. He opens up his eyes, and he said, "Whoa, man!" It's an old one, I know. My wife is looking down at her book, probably embarrassed I even said that. But you know, that's where the term woman comes from. But he had taken the rib. And from man, and he made her into woman, and he brought her to man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." You know, wives, this is an example of some of the first wives. In today's day and age, you know, not all mothers are wives. You know, the Bible expresses that that's kind of the way to go, but that doesn't, again, in today's culture, we don't see that a lot. But the wife, Eve was established as a wife, as equal to Adam. She was taken from his side. She had a place for Adam, but she was created for him, and she was created to be fruitful and multiply, to be a mother. And in verse 24 of chapter 2, right after Adam says this, he says, "Therefore man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." A man shall leave his mother and father, father and mother, and be joined. So as an example of a wife, but we're also leading into motherhood at this point. It's already established, or God is establishing, that they shall have children and they shall leave their own. But again, what I was saying in the beginning, she has the name woman, and we covered where that came from. But woman is one name, but I had you turn to chapter 5 in the very beginning, and another name for woman, or for the woman, for Eve, was chapter 5, verse 2. He says, "He created them male and female, and he blessed them, and he called them..." Now, I'm using New King James Version. It says, "mankind, in the day they were created." But I believe in the... I like the expression of the King James, which I know is what we use here at Sitka. And he called them Adam. But it also... It says there, he named them. He named... "And their name shall be Adam," which is man, which is mankind, which is who God created. He gave them the same name because they were equal. They became one flesh. So he gave them an equal name of man. And Adam, that's kind of a direct example of mankind. So we saw her name was woman. We also, her name was Adam, being a co-creation or brought out of Adam. Now we know that the woman went through the fall of man. We were tempted by Satan, and we was tempted, and we taken the fruit, and we sin was brought in. And in chapter 3, we're not going to really go through all that. I don't really want to bring that into this, but it's right and it's true. But after the fall and the curses were given, 3 verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. So what do we know about Eve? Here she is. She is the mother of all living. What a wonderful, you know, I think about this, and I think about motherhood itself. Not in that way, but I mean, as when you start thinking about this, you know, Eve had a whole lot of things going on. She was the first of well, pretty much everything. She came into this, well, first of all, she was created. She was created as a woman. She didn't go through childhood. She didn't have an example of a mother over her. She had God, and we know that God is known as a masculine, but we also know that God is neither male nor female. He is kind of the expression of both. He is God in spirit. He is God, ruler over all, creator of all, and he is known in a masculine sense, but he is mother, father. He is the perfect example of all. His love, his perfect love, is known for all of us. And Eve and Adam and Eve were both created, we are all created in God's image. And so she had that. She had God, but she had no mother. She didn't know the expression of what a daughter was. She didn't know what a child. She really didn't know anything. And so all this was brought about. You know, you think of young mothers today when they first have children, and it is funny, and I know all of you have examples. Some mothers are just natural mothers, and maybe many of you were. When you had children, you just knew what to do. You just knew how to love that child and knew how to take care of it. Now, some of those were examples of when you were taken care of when you were a child. Some of those were babysitting throughout the years, brothers, sisters, and all this. So you had examples maybe, but some were just naturally mothers. And then we have other young ladies or ladies that have children that have to learn how to be a mother. Have a hard time maybe even. And I know a lot of times that's what the mother of the young mother is for, to come along and help out, to be that mother. And many of you have, I'm sure, fond memories of your mother helping you to be a mother. So Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. Now, Eve was the first woman to live upon the earth. And in saying that, that's what we was just talking about. Now, man was created out of dust. God took mud, basically, and created Adam, breathed the life into his nostrils, and he became man. Well, woman was taken from Adam, created by God, but taken from Adam, the rib of Adam. So the man was dust refined, but the woman was dust double refined. Makes her just a little bit more special, doesn't it? We're still dust, but she's refined just the second time around. Eve was one of the first women to be called a wife, or she was the first wife. And so we talked about that when she was equal with Adam and brought forth for Adam, and they were one flesh and recognized by God as the equal party as two. And that's why he called them man. She was bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Woman, God created Eve. And I tell you, I believe that she was probably one of the most beautiful woman that ever probably lived too. Now, I say that because if you think about, we all have beauty. We all have beauty because we're created in God's image. And we all have this special, but ladies, you are something special. You are something to behold. You know, all of us males know that we are visual guys. Well, that's what we look for, all right? And who are we looking to? We're looking for the ladies, and we look for that one, and we look for that beauty. And every one of you has a certain beauty, but every one of you has Eve's DNA, or Eve had all the DNA of all of us, of all of you. So she had every quality and every beauty that there was. Eve was created perfect and complete in the very beginning. Before the fall, she was perfect. Adam was too, but Eve was perfect, and therefore she had a beauty that I'm sure was more than anything that eyes could behold. She had a natural beauty, because I don't think Maybelline and Mary Kay was created back then. So she was as pretty and beautiful the way she was. She was a beautiful woman. And she was created that way. And like I said, she has every ounce of DNA that we all, that has been passed down from generation. Every one of us has an inner beauty that came from Eve. And essentially came from God. Now, sin has taken a few steps in there, but you all share that. So Eve was probably, I'm sure, she was the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful women there was. Eve was one of the first, ladies to be tempted. And we know that Satan has his place in this world and tempts all of us, men and women alike. But ladies, I know that there's even some special ways that Satan tempts you even over men. And we're not really going to go into all that, but we know that, you know, Eve was one of the first ones. She was one of the first assaulted, you might say, by Satan. And, you know, he hit her hard. And what did he do? He deceived her. Which, you know, we think of Satan attacking all of us sometimes, and he does. But, you know, as a childhood and so many later, we always think, and of course TV doesn't help or movies, but we think of Satan attacking, that he's attacking physically and these things. But he really doesn't do that. We don't have, well, I've never had a monster under my bed necessarily, but you think there are sometimes. The demons, they're out there, but what do they do? They're masters of deception. They're masters of deceiving. And that's part of the reason we believe in monsters is children and things like that, because we're deceived into believing that they're actually out there and real. And they feed upon that. So Eve was one of the first ones tempted. She was one of the first ones to be assaulted by Satan and actually be tricked into what we know as sin. And you know, upon that brief part, Eve also then at that point was the first... was one of the first women to, well, she was one of the first ones to be blamed by man. Adam, when asked what Eve, or, you know, why he ate the fruit, it was her. So ladies, I know when your men, you know, throw you under the bus and all that, it started right in the very beginning. Now, guys, on the other side of that, you know, Eve blamed Satan. Although that was kind of real and true. But yeah, Adam threw Eve right under the bus real quick. So Eve was also the one where her husband failed her. Because, yeah, he cast blame upon her before that. But, you know, he was the one that should have been responsible. And, you know, guys, he was right there. So he had a responsibility. He had the actual... He had the actual commandment, or the actual God had actually instructed Adam about not to eat the fruit, and he was right there, and he went right along with her and ate the fruit right behind her. He didn't stop her. He didn't instruct her. He didn't love on her. He didn't tell her not to. He did it, and he took and he ate right behind her, and then he cast blame upon her. So she was the first lady of having... marital problems, you might say. She was also one of the first, probably, clothing makers, designers. Started off with the fig leaves and things to cover up, which, you know, God gave her a obviously at the sin to cover the sin. Obviously, we saw the first sacrifice, and he gave him the animal skin or the lamb skin. Well, we think maybe sometimes it's a lamb skin. It doesn't really tell us, but, you know, he covered them. But, you know, from then on, she was probably Adam was instructed to take care and till the ground and take care of the ground, but Eve probably became a master dressmaker, I say that. How about tailor? We'll just say that. But you know, as far as motherhood, Eve was one of the first two. And in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now Adam knew his wife, Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord." Now can you imagine in the very beginning of time, she conceives and has, you know, 9 months later, this is the first woman, the first pregnancy, the first everything. You wonder how, and I, again, going back to the being instilled by God and being created like Him and just knowing things, I mean, I'm assuming she was just a natural mother. But, you know, she was the first... first diapers, first change, first crying, first feeding, first, you know, this woman is the first of all. And without any previous instruction or anybody else to go to, she had to figure it out. And she had this young man, Cain. We know that he grew. She also then bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. We're not really going to go into all their professions, but Eve was also, as a mother, raised these two young men. But at the end of the day, we know that Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel. So Eve was one of the first mothers to have to go through losing a child. Some of us have done that. Some of us, I think of my own mother who lost children right now through birth, lived for a few days. Obviously, that was way before me. I didn't know them. And then I think of our own family and losing Jalen and the effects that has. And so Eve was one of the first to have this happen to her. But you know, there's also the other concept, and many of you have went through where you've had children also go the other route, where they didn't follow the Lord's instructions, where they've succumbed to sin. And so she had her firstborn, you know, and a lot of times your firstborn is your, I don't want to say favorite, but you have that's your firstborn. And she had Cain. And Cain was, you know, basically not a good guy. We have several examples of him through Scripture. And Cain wasn't a nice guy, and some of us have had to bear through poor decision-making or poor choices from our children also. But Eve went through that also. She did it all at once. It had to be a huge, after raising these, we know they were young men. We don't know how old they were at this time, but they were old enough, obviously, to be in their careers as a keeper of the sheep and a tiller of the ground. And then we also know that they were old enough to have their own responsibilities to do these things. So they were old enough, and then obviously to make the choice to take each other, or for Cain to take Abel. You know, Mindy sent me a Facebook post yesterday, and it talked about, you know, that bad parents can have good kids and good parents can have bad kids. And it's a prime example, because I'm sure that Adam and Eve raised these two boys. I mean, you know, they were all side by side. These were four people on the earth. Wasn't like they were out at the neighbors getting, you're hanging around with the wrong people. Mm-mm. Cain wasn't hanging around with the wrong people. Abel wasn't in church every day and all that, but they were, you know, it was just four people. And they raised them the same, and I'm sure they were all recognized God. And we know that Cain recognized God, but he still made the wrong choice. So You know, sometimes in mothers that we need to take that into effect, because not every child who makes poor decisions is a bad mother, nor every great child has a great mother. We'll just leave it at that, but that's, and throw the fathers in there too. But Eve was one of the first. She had to go through all this. She raised these children, figured it out, and raised these men up, and had this happen also. But then we also know in chapter 4 and verse 25, Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. Seth was in the line of Christ. When Abel was taken out and by his brother, that Seth was their third. I also found it interesting, and I've gone through the genealogies before, and it's been a while back, but this brought it back up to light, that if you go on down to Adam's, on the family of Adam, Adam lived 130 years, and he begot a son in his own likeness, and his son he named him Seth. So he was 130 years old. Now that goes back to the point that we really don't know how long the garden, we really don't have time frames of how long they were in the garden before the sin fell. We don't have a time frame of where Cain and Abel, how long they were married beforehand, how long, you know, when the woman was created. But Adam was 130 years old before, so she had to be right there real close also when they bore Seth. So I don't know if they, you know, if they waited a while, you know, while Cain was cursed and set free, or I'm going to say no, I don't know, but there was 130. Now they lived to be 900, or Adam we know to been to 930 years old, and we also know after going, I lost my place, but at the same time we know that they had many sons and daughters. Okay, and in verse 4 of chapter 5, and he begot Seth, and the days of Adam were 800 years at that time, and he had sons and daughters. We don't know how many, and we're assuming that they were all from Eve. We don't know of another wife. I'm sure she bore many. So, you know, she was the first mother of all. She was the mother of all living. She gave every example, so she became the first grandmother also. And great-grandmother, I'm sure, and maybe a few generations there. So she was able to take all the things that she was first and that she made perfect and pass them on to her daughters and pass them on to her family. And we know that, of course, creation starts there. And she was the mother of all. Eve is just one of these that, you know, we just need to stop and think. Again, we don't have a lot written about her. We don't really, after this, there's really not much mention of her. She's mentioned two more times in Scripture, but it all deals with the fall of man and the sin brought into the world. So, but we can derive that all these things happen. We can derive that she was the mother of all. And we can just sit back and think. You know, sometimes we take biblical examples in the Bible and we put them on kind of even a pedestal. You know, Moses, Abraham, David, and you know, Mother Mary. All these we sometimes think, and then we forget the reality. We forget what they really went through. That they were flesh and blood, just like we are on this earth, and that they had to go through all the things really that we go through. We have technologies that they didn't have, but other than that, the real life things that happened to us, they dealt with. And Eve was the first of all of us. She was the one that perfected motherhood. She's the one that brought it all and figured it all out for us, you know, 6 to 10,000 years later. She gets a bad rap. Adam does too, but you know, I personally believe, you know, that Adam and Eve are right there in heaven, and that someday we'll see them. But Eve was also, I brought up that she was one to the first tempted by anybody or Satan himself, and fell to that temptation, but she was also one of the first to receive the divine, the prophecy of the cross. You know, in chapter 3, 15, and I will put an enmity, I always say that wrong, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This was the, through this curse or through this, through the God giving Eve for being deceived, he's telling her of the coming of Christ. Because she will be fruitful and multiply, because she will be the mother of all, she will have the seed, and generations down will be the seed, Jesus Christ. Through her lineage, she will have, Jesus will be born. And the prophecy right here is, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And she's talking about Satan, or God's talking about Satan, and he's given this prophecy right here of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that when Jesus Christ was crucified and hung on that cross, died for the sins that we, or the sinfulness that started back with Adam and Eve, and that is in our bloodline from there on, we have the inherent sinful nature. But Jesus died on that cross. And when he said, when he was hanging on that cross and he said, "It is finished," he completed this scripture. He completed this prophecy. Because Satan thought he had ended what needed to be ended. But he didn't. He bruised, Jesus bruised Satan's head, or was a death blow. And all he did was bruise his heel. Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for our sins, and he was a direct descendant from Eve. And the prophecy that given to Eve is right here. So she was the first one to really receive or know the prophecy of the coming of Christ. She was given that seed. She's the mother of all and the mother of our Savior also in a generation. So we can look to her for many things. We can look for her. We can look to her and take comfort in knowing of the motherhood that we all, that you all have, and know that she was the first mother of all, and she was the first of everything. Everything you have to go through, she went through. And just like her, she had the prophecy of the coming of Christ. We know the prophecy that Christ came. And we know that he did go and fulfill this prophecy that was given to her, and that he died upon that cross so that we can have forgiveness. And that's a wonderful thing. As we go out today and as we enjoy, I don't know how many of you are having, cookouts and reservations, and I went longer than 6 minutes, I'm sorry, but anyway... But I hope that you all enjoy today. I hope you all enjoy. Men, I hope you're treating your wives well, and the mothers, make it their day. May you all enjoy. And as we go out today, let's close in a word of prayer, and we can close with a song. Father, we just thank you again for mothers. We thank you for the example you've even given us right in the very beginning. Father, we thank you for the examples you give us throughout Scripture. Lord, we just thank you for our mothers. We thank you for the mother's love. We thank you for that unconditional love that I think the mothers have over the fathers, the unconditional love for the children and for the ones that they bring into this world. Lord God, bless each and every one here. Bless each and every one throughout. And Lord, let us know that you are God. And we thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, come on up. Or yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, turn in your. You don't want to hear me sing. Looks like number two in the hymnal.
Enjoy one another's time. Enjoy your families.